You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm guessing if you want to build a statue, you have to think about whether it's going to be bronze or still. Well, you also need to know how tall it is. So, do either of you two know how tall John O'Shea is? Because for a statue outside the ground, we need to know a bit more about his height.
6'3"?
You reckon?
Yeah, just over 6.
I reckon we could get that done. I reckon we could start a Just Giving page on EPR. What do you think? Think it'll work? Bit early. Oh, I've gone too quick, haven't I? Anyway, let's get started anyway. So welcome to the Elm Park Rolls podcast. Firstly, I will introduce Mr. Rees. How are you?
Still engaged. So, yes, thank you very much.
I tried to shun that last time I spoke to you about it.
Yeah, I did mention it to the good lady and she wasn't impressed.
So. Yeah, if she is listening, I can, tell you that. It wasn't a positive response.
She's probably in Nando's.
No, probably in Nando's. Also with us this week is Sam Stevenson. Hi, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. Recovering from my trip to Hooters at the weekend. I had to get that in there, sorry.
We may have been talking Hooter chat just before we started recording this, but that's a whole different section. I'm not sure everyone else is ready for that. I'm not sure. So that kind of leads us nicely into the Forest match, which we were at, which I wasn't at it. You were at it, Sam.
Yeah.
What was your kind of overall thoughts on it? Just kind of summing up the performance.
It was similar to Derby in the sense that we played reasonably well. We actually did create a reasonable amount of clear-cut chances. Didn't put any of them away, and kind of got hit for it. And a draw probably would have been a fair result. But just like Derby, we came away on the losing end and found ourselves bottom of the table.
Yeah, it's not too much of a worry after two matches, obviously.
No.
I mean, I don't think I'll be hitting the nuclear button quite yet. But it's obviously not perfect. We'd rather have got something. But at least, I mean, if you play those two matches and you think we've deserved to lose, I'd be really quite worried.
Yeah.
But like you just said, we've actually done okay in both of them. I mean, what do you think, Neil? Do you think of the start overall?
We've not been blown away, and I think people feared these two fixtures quite a lot prior to any ball being kicked. Everyone probably thought we were going to get a kicking against Derby, and that didn't turn out that way. Similarly with Forest and the amount of money that they've spent in the summer, we kind of thought, well, it's probably getting another 2-3-0 reverse. But we've been very competitive in both. It's just that lack of sharpness around the box, it's that creativity that is still an issue from last season, and it's these things that will get addressed as we go along. It's not going to be fixed in two games. So whilst it's no surprise that we're bottom of the table, maybe because we're not creating that much or scoring enough, it's still better.
Yeah, I think so. We look like we've got a plan. We look like we're actually moving forward a lot on the pitch instead of sideways, which I think is a very good thing, and I think that is going to help Clement get the fans on side, because we're basically, those are the kind of teams that Reading fans as a whole seem to like. Would you agree with that, Sam?
Well, I think it's, yeah, I agree, and I think it's a massive cliche to say this, but it does feel like we're a player or two short still. But it looks like we've, as you said, got a plan. We're way more direct. We don't have as much possession as we had last season because we're always looking to move the ball forward. We're just lacking that cutting edge. And there are certain positions obviously that you worry about more than others, especially with the injuries at the moment and whatnot. starting at the beginning of the season. But in the context of last season, we're playing well. I mean, at the end of last season, I would have taken a narrow 1-0 loss and a 2-1 loss to these two teams. Mm. Actually, taken's maybe overselling it slightly. Yeah. But you know, it's much better than it was last year. Yeah. And it looks like, you know, both games we've had enough chances to win the game. Mm. And that's positive, right? Mm. I mean, going to Nottingham Forest and seeing us, you know, consistently press them, win the ball back in midfield, push forward, it was great. It was good to see that. Obviously, a loss isn't fantastic, but there were some great individual performances. I thought Kelly looked good. I thought Laurie looked amazing. And Barrow again, whilst he wasn't great, was still whipping in a few crosses and beating his man over and over again. Mate looked good, and yeah, I think there's loads to be positive about. But again, that's in the context of last season, two losses. Yeah. Ordinarily,
we seem to have lost that rabbit in the headlights look that we had certainly towards the tail end of last season. We seem to have got a bit more composure. Whilst it's not leading to too much in terms of out-and-out chances, we don't seem to be having that much fear anymore. But it seems to be a little bit more relaxed, I think. And with that, hopefully we'll come a bit more confident, certainly after what we saw last night.
Yeah, I think we obviously do look a little bit more relaxed. I think everyone knows what they're doing and everyone seems to have a belief in it at the moment. Obviously, you need to get some results to help with that. I mean, I think Laurie, as you pointed out, Sam, I think he's the kind of player I wanted to be a 7 every week.
Yeah.
We don't need these. His star performances are brilliant, but I want him not to be noticed. Because last season, I was noticing too much and for the wrong reasons. If he can continue on this, not making many mistakes. In fact, the only chance that Nottingham Forest, I think, probably had in the first half came from a mistake from him when he got cut. But, I mean, if you're making one mistake really in two matches, that's pretty good for a defender.
It's standard for central defenders, isn't it? They're there in that particular area where mistakes lead to goals. It's the nature of the beast, isn't it? And I think Laurie certainly has taken an awful lot away in the summer to, I think, look ahead to see what's around him before he decides what he's going to do with the ball. And he seems to have put himself in a bit more space rather than let himself get confined. And it's that kind of stuff that, you know, he's kind of eradicating a bit, which is good.
I think the style of play plays into that bit as well, because we're just looking to get the ball forward as quickly as possible rather than playing around with it at the back. The players aren't finding themselves in those tight positions where they're being pressed. Yeah. And that works for Laurie.
It's a far more simplistic game when we're at the back now. We seem to be, like Clement was saying before the season, he wants to set up with a tight defence and then almost counter-attack, which is perfect because we saw that was exactly what we did under Brian McDermott and it worked quite well in the first spell.
Yeah.
So I've no problem with that. We haven't quite got that player up front at the moment, I would say, but I've seen a couple of signs, maybe possibly from the game last night, but we'll come on to that later. So I think it's a positive thing. I asked on the Twitter account, how confident were you compared to last season? And 57% of you said that you're more confident than last season. So, and that's after we've lost two matches. So that's pretty good, I would say. Because normally, it's our worst start in 20 years. I mean, it's only two games. that's not great, is it?
And I think that statistic is quite a good one because usually you'll put up a poll on a weekend game. And you'll say, right, win, lose, or draw, what's the percentage? And you'll have 20 or 30 people, their percent will say, we're going to win. It's like, well, based on what? We've been dreadful.
Do you know that's our fifth away game on the trot that we haven't scored a goal? The last time we scored was
it's a massive issue.
Sam
away
Smith.
From home. It's a massive issue. I always wonder where these 30% think we're going to win
from. It's hope, isn't it?
It is hope, but you know, you'd like to say, well, have a bit of more realism of what we're actually going to do.
It's only a poll.
Your polling is meaningless. Don't put the poll up.
I think
that 57 is a very good 57.
If we can also go into the game, the first match, if we're conceding goals, they're actually decent.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we don't want to concede goals, but it does make you feel a little bit better when you're conceding goals like we did against Derby for the second goal, not the first one. The second one was a very good goal, sickening as it was. And the goal, was it Sidani scored? I think it was.
Yeah.
on Saturday. If you're scoring goals like that, you kind of have to say, maybe we could defend a little bit better, but that's a proper goal.
We were away from home and we limited the amount of chances they had. And that's important. Defensively last season, we were all over the place, especially at the end of the year. That Ipswich game, the 4-0 at home, players would see someone run past them and just give up. And look to somebody else to deal with it. Even players like Tyler Blackett this season are pulling their weight. They're doing a decent-ish job.
How was he on Saturday?
He was okay. He got caught out a few times, as did a few other players. But he looks a lot more solid defensively than he did last season. I think he's a confidence player. And if the team are playing well and the manager's, you know, got his arm around his shoulders and the rest of the players are kind of behind him, I think he'll play well. He's good at bringing the ball forward. I think like Ilori last season, he'll switch off at the back, and that's where we'll see issues with Blackett. And when the fans get on his back, he's more likely to do that. I'm not saying he's, you know, going to turn out to be one of our best, you know, brightest left backs in the last 10 years, but I think he's serviceable at this level, definitely.
He's certainly got the technical ability. It's always been his what's going on in his head is the issue. But I think last night we saw certain elements from him. He looked a lot more relaxed, a lot more confident in doing what he needed to do, pinging some good balls up the left channels and not really worry about where they were going. Whereas last season he was so tentative, getting caught, making mistakes, balls would kind of like go out of play off him, back into play and then into trouble. And that's where it all kind of spawned from, really.
He's been helped a lot from what Sam said as well about Ilori. The game's been simplified at the back, and he used to get caught out so many times because, you know, it sounds not a good thing to say about football, but short passing is not his strength.
No,
I would say there's a lot of other things he can do, but that is not one of his strengths. And if you eliminate that issue.
Yeah, and once or twice, remember, Tyler's played some absolute beautiful balls that's led to goals for us as well. So if you put him in the right area and he's got his right head on, then you can do good things.
Well, with the amount of injuries we've got, he might end up playing left wing. So you never know. It's not impossible, is it?
No.
So it was so obviously we want to get points on the road and everything. I kind of thought we would lose before. I hoped I was wrong. But, I mean, I was surprised not to see Swift come on, though. I did find that slightly strange.
I think Baldock and Swift are both brought in for their own specific systems. I think Baldock will play in a two-man attack. Swift will play when we want to try and pack the midfield. Before the game, I was worried that we were going to be weak in midfield, playing two. But actually, you know, we kept robbing them of the ball. They couldn't hold on to it. So whatever Clement had done before the game, he'd obviously looked at them and said, we can do something here with two in midfield. And it kind of worked. And so, yeah, with Baldock up front, I think I'm not that surprised that Swift didn't come on, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, he hasn't looked fully fit this season.
No.
From what we've seen. Last night, obviously, he looked better, but we'll get onto that.
Yeah, he did. But I also agree that he wasn't at his best last night. I mean, he's got that well. But yeah, like we said, we'll come on to that. But I think one of the major players who's going to be David Mailer.
Yeah.
I think he's going to make a big difference talking about the interceptions and things like that. He just reads the game a little bit better than previous. I can see that.
And I think, going back to Sam's point, I think that's where we can work with a two. When you've got a player like Mailer that will just sit and can read the game very well. So then you don't have to have three that are all chasing around for positions. Yeah. You've just got one that sits there and the other one that's a bit more mobile. And I think that's what Clement wants, because obviously he recognises that we haven't got that much of an attacking threat, so he has to play two, because one won't work.
No.
You just get isolated.
No.
So I think Mailer is definitely going to be key for us.
Yeah, I think he'd be a big player. I mean, if you look at it, he didn't start, he was involved at all last night, was he? So he's clearly a key player for us. I mean, we've got so few midfielders. Although I did see earlier that, who is it, Anthony Smith from the Chronicle saying there's a bid for a midfielder. And straight away, I thought, it could be Dave Edwards.
Yeah.
It would kind of make sense.
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. He is injured, though, so it'll be a brave club to take him on.
I did kind of slightly jokingly say Scotland, but, you know,
we've been looking at midfielders, haven't we?
Yes.
So that's clearly an area that Clement knows that we need to improve.
Yeah.
We're too lightweight with the players that we've got at the moment, 100%. And the combinations don't really work.
No.
So Mailer
couldn't
is
start
player.
Me on my infamous midfield spreadsheet. Oh,
don't do that. No, we don't need to go there.
13
again.
Combinations.
Wow. Yeah. No, the midfield is an issue because, like you say, if we're going to play two, you kind of think is Swift up to it? Is Kelly up to it? I don't know, on a weekly basis.
They're the two that you can't play in there together.
No,
unless
you can't.
I
automatically consider playing Bakuna though.
Yeah.
Bakuna's got a little bit more physicality. Who would you play there?
I don't think I'd play. I think you need someone else. I think you need a box to box.
You need a whole new player in there.
Yeah, absolutely. You need a high energy player who's just going to chase and chase and chase.
Yes.
I think that when an awful lot of teams that certainly we saw last season, probably the season before, the opposition will have that type of player. We didn't. Mm. And we try to supplement it with putting three in there and still we get swamped.
Which does kind of make logical sense, though, because if you haven't got that player, you have to try it in a different way, don't you?
Yeah, you do, but we were trying to counteract it rather than playing our own game. So we were always trying to, you know, make a system work for us rather than using our system to hurt the opposition. And that's where we've just kind of got lost over the way. It's like we don't know what system was good and we were pigeonholing all over the place.
Yeah, totally. So let's move on to last night against Birmingham.
Happier time.
Birmingham, we have to slightly say, preface it with the fact that it was 11 changes to Birmingham.
Yeah.
So let's not pretend this was Birmingham's.
Never met.
Yeah, let's not pretend it was Birmingham's first team. But still, we made 5 changes as well, so put that in there, but we look like we have the stronger team. And I've seen us in recent years play against teams who were supposedly weaker than us, and us just kind of look awful. And we actually really bossed the whole match, I would say, apart from a brief bit at the start of the second half for Birmingham.
Mm. Yeah, a little bit. I think that's safe to say. I think we I don't know what the possession stats were anyway, but they largely seemed to be unimportant.
I think we had 59%.
Was it?
Yeah. Just off the top of my head.
Certainly sounds about right. we certainly had, as Sam said earlier, a lot more directness. Players were finding good positions. They weren't letting themselves be marked by any of the Birmingham players too much. Mate was flying around all over the place, certainly more in the first half. He was drifting in, he was coming out, he was swapping with Barrow when Barrow was on. There was a lot more you could see that they're working on and was actually finding that they enjoy doing it, whereas last season it was just, you know, players in positions and not really know what to do. So certainly even without scoring the early goal, we looked as if we were a lot more about us than in other games that we'd seen, you know, last cup games like we had Gillingham the last season before. It just looked as if something was beginning to click a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And we were discussing before we started recording this, you could actually feel there was a semi-decent atmosphere there.
Yes.
Kind of confidence. And the team was actually getting proper backing and the crowd want them to do well.
Yeah, they definitely do. I don't know where it came from, because ordinarily these early kind of, you know, cup matches, you don't really get much of an attendance, you don't get much of an atmosphere, it's pretty flat. But I think people knew that this game was important for morale behind the scenes and the confidence of the team. If we'd lost this game, 3 losses suddenly looks pretty bad, especially when you're playing a Birmingham team that have made as many changes as they have. Mm. But we did what we needed to do. The only criticism I've got, if anything, of last night was the lack of clear-cut chances we created. We obviously got the goals, we did what we needed to do. Swift scored a great free kick, but I don't feel like we put the ball in enough goal-scoring positions, and that's something we definitely need to work on. That's been a problem the first 2 games as well. So
I was thinking about that earlier as well. And actually, apart from maybe the bulldog chance in the second half from McNulty, I can't remember us having a chance when you think he's definitely going to score here. Yeah. No, there wasn't. There was a lot of kind of semi-decent play, but it was breaking down a little bit. But
I think they haven't yet got that confidence where they can anticipate the risk and reward yet. They'll still kind of be a little bit more conservative, but still be mobile. But you're not going to get that box-to-box player that's going to go, I'm just going to create space now and let it all open up in front of them for the strikers. We're not getting that yet. And that's understandable because we're not at that level where we can play with confidence because the results just, you know, haven't led to that point yet.
Well, no. Sorry, Sam.
That's right. No, I was just going to say, in line with what you've just said, players aren't necessarily getting down the line and just crossing it. You know,
They're
still, I think, a little bit stuck in that Stan mentality.
Yeah. I think it's getting out of that.
Yeah,
gradually.
It definitely is. Yeah,
gradually,
but we are overplaying it at times, and there have been a few times this season where Swift had the ball on the edge of the box, and I thought, just hit it.
Yeah,
you know, he was doing that when he first joined us.
Yeah,
and we've got players that can do that. And the other thing we need to do is make sure Bakuna doesn't have any more long shots because
dreadful moments.
Because the first one clearly affected the second one.
Yeah.
He was kind of, he did not know what to do when it came to him in virtually the same position. He was thinking, oh no, I do not want to hit the top of the stand again.
but how important is it when Swift was doing what he was doing, when you're not playing well? Gilfie was the same back when we had him. You know, you've got a player who can. When you're struggling to unlock a defence, when you're struggling to break them down, you've got someone who can smash a shot from 25 yards and hit it on target, you know, score a goal. It makes such a difference. And we haven't had that since Swift kind of lost his confidence. Mm. I don't know what happened.
But time and time again last season, it was just a case of just shoot.
Yeah.
Because anything can happen when you shoot. A deflection, the keeper misreads it, anything. And when you're tepid like that and you haven't got that adventure, then, as you say, you're going to be static and defenders will just go, well, I'm just going to stay here because you're not going to do anything to me.
No, I agree completely. I mean, I think the most positive thing about the match has to be Mate, though. I mean, I know he's by no way is he the finished article, and his final ball sometimes is not where you'd like it to be, but he can go past the player. And if you've got a player in your team who can do that with a trick, with some pace or with some power, the opposition know he can do that and it's going to bother them.
He just creates a focal point.
Yeah, but he's going to attract the defenders too. Yeah. I mean, he's going to have to, he's I think you can see a big improvement in his mentality more than anything else since he's come back. He's looked like he's grown up a bit.
Yeah, he's matured, yeah.
I don't think it's just that either. I think if you look at him, he's becoming a bit of a character, like in the squad. People like him on social media. I think, typifies the change in morale in the squad because he looks like he's enjoying it. He's smiling on the pitch, you know, and other players are getting involved.
Isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that makes a big difference, seeing players enjoy their football, which we obviously didn't have last season, or at least it felt that way.
And Clement himself has said that he, and from the moment he pretty much saw him training, he said, I like the boy.
Yeah.
And for a flair player, often managers will kind of like be a little bit cautious with flair players and letting them do their thing because it could be at the detriment of the rest of the team's shape and all that kind of business. But he's, I think, effectively given him license to really impose himself on that part of the field. And last night he was very, very impressive.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you could see he was completely knackered in by about 60-70 minutes.
He was looking to the bench quite a lot after that thing.
He was. He was giving the more ball more and more to Yedam, which was fair enough. So, but that's going to do him good, isn't it? Playing, because obviously he's not used to playing again that physicality of the Championship, which essentially it was a little bit last night.
He's got the strength, though.
Oh, he has, but it's a repetition, isn't it?
Sure.
Playing, yes.
It is.
Yes.
And a knock to the ribs and potentially out for a little bit. But it's nice to see that he's young, he's direct, and he'll just play with three players.
Yes.
I think he'll fit in at this level.
Yeah. He's got no fear. He hasn't seen fail yet. And it's like we've got too many players. We've signed too many players in the 28 to 30 bracket.
Yeah.
They're kind of more towards the end of their career and kind of seem being kind of, it sounds a bit extreme, but mentally kind of worn down by not quite making it because they're at Reading now. They're not on the way up.
Yeah.
So we need these players in the team. This is why with someone like John Swift, that goal last night, it could be massive for him and his confidence. And you hope if he puts another good display in against Bolton on Saturday, that would really help him. Because before he scored the goal, he took two or three corners and they were atrocious.
Yeah.
And you could see the confidence just sapping out of him. And even in the first half, there was quite a few missed simple passes in the middle of the park. But you just think, if we get him working, he could be such a key player.
Well, like I said earlier, I think we need that player who can unlock a game that is a bit of a, you know, it's a stalemate. Both teams are struggling to find anything. I want someone in the team who can just smash it.
Yeah.
And we haven't had that. And Swift did that. I mean, a year ago, he was doing that. He went and played for England and scored a screamer for the England under 21s, I think it was.
Yes,
as well.
He did, yes.
And he scored 6 or 7 goals in his first half of that season with Stam, and then got an injury, and then kind of, I don't know what it was, I don't know whether Stam drummed it out of him, I'm not sure, but he just stopped shooting. But he can clearly do it, and we lack that, we need that.
Yeah, I can see Mato being that player to have a shot as well.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be fearful. I think maybe Mailer might could be. I think he could possibly have a few shots as well. We just don't like, it's exactly right. We just don't
Mailer
have
likes to
players.
Chip in with a few goals. I think he scored 5 last year, which is pretty decent for a player in that position.
But so much of that, I think, is down to the fact that it's fear of not scoring and making that mistake.
Yeah.
Because we had that whole mentality last season. Hopefully this had changed this season. Once you get a few wins, I'm not expecting us to win the next 6 games on the trot.
No.
That would be nice, but I'm not expecting that. You just kind of think, it just eases everyone up and everything becomes so much easier. I thought McNulty was pretty good last night in the little bits that he showed, the way he linked up with Bulldog, especially for the first goal from Mate, was his pass there to Mate was, I mean, a lot of players wouldn't even seen that pass, let alone attempt it and actually pull it off. So
he feels like a player that needs the balls, he needs the creativity. He's not going to, like if you took Lafondra and put him in our current team, he'd do nothing.
Yeah.
You need those balls into the box. You need those players working the ball, and we're not doing that enough at the moment. And we'll get better with it as the season goes on. And I think McNulty will come into his own.
I think so. And I think so. Hopefully with Bulldog, he'll get a goal soon, because I'm not quite sure how he managed to miss that one in the second half. He seemed to almost get caught in the grass or something. It was a bit weird. A bit strange. But let's hope he gets his goal, because I think he reminds me... I'm not saying he's going to be as good as this bloke, but he's got a little bit of kind of Nicky Forster, his kind of style about him. Yeah. I mean, he's pretty... that's a pretty high standard, I think. He did quite well for us. good championship player, Nicky Forster. What do you think?
He had killer pace there, didn't he, which Bulldog doesn't have. But I think Bulldog's awareness was good. He was again, the mobility was very decent. Him and McNulty seemed to have a good understanding where each other were. Sometimes they were a little bit too far apart, but what do we expect in August? You know, none of these relationships are going to be fostered out of nothing this early in the season.
No, in the defensive area we saw the return of Liam Moore. And he got a really good reception when his name was read out, which is good to see, because I don't think he's done absolutely nothing wrong. He's a professional. So
absolutely. Yeah. Anyone would take a job if the money was there and you were making a step up. It's a promotion, isn't it, effectively?
Totally.
But at this point as well, whatever you think of Liam Moore, we've turned down 10 million if you believe that. You know,
turned down a lot of money.
At that point, you know, if you leave him on the bench, what's the point? You might as well have taken the money. So we should play him. He's our best player.
Yes, he's our best defender.
I thought he looked a little bit rusty at some points, but that's not a criticism at all. You'd expect that. Other players have played, you know, a few more games than he has, including pre-season. So he took a little while to get into it, but he was back to his usual best in the second half, clearing things.
He's an absolutely... Him and Mo Barra are the first names on the team sheet, really. That's good, though. We're getting more and more.
You start to think about our centre-backs, and if Clement can get them playing together, Moore and Ilori, you know, could be up there as one of the best centre-back pairings in the league.
Because they've both got a bit of pace as
well. And they can both pick out a pass when they need to, and they both look reasonably comfortable bringing the ball out of defence.
I think last night, man, they probably didn't need to play, or they could have played O'Shea, but I think because Moore coming back into the equation again, they needed Ilori and Moore to you know, reconfigure with themselves and get game time with each other, because I do think that is going to be our number one partnership at the back, so they needed that game time to get, you know, readjusted.
Yeah, John O'Shea had an absolutely
auspicious
I've rarely seen a player come on who's never played for us before A, get that reaction, and there's a whole loads of things about that. Obviously, was it sarcastic, was it wrong and all that. I'm not going to go through all that because you could go on that forever. I thought it was fine,
it was,
and
wrong.
It was We get a different crowd at the Medeski for these games in the League Cup. And did he do a single thing wrong in 10 minutes? I think he just won absolutely
everything. He stopped a shot, I think, in the 6-yard box.
He's just incredible. He just set the standard so high.
Can I suggest, in regards to setting the standard high, I've also never seen anyone wear their shorts as
No!
We never said as soon as he came on. He was like, those shorts. Oh.
Wow, that is old school. He showed
his head. Proper tucked in and everything.
Yeah.
It's like, this is how you do it, lads. None of this, you know, shorts out, no shin pads.
No, you're right. You're right. I'm glad you brought that
up. This is the Sabutio outfit, and this is how I wear it.
Yeah, he looked like a proper old school footballer.
He really did.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had black boots on as well to complete the old school.
Oh, I know. He most probably did, actually, yeah. But he's a player who we could bring on. I don't think he'd be starting many games.
No, but you could never have too many options.
No.
And he's experienced. Yeah. And, yeah, you know, if you get down to the point where you're playing your fourth or fifth centre-back choice, if the odd mistake happens, you kind of just accept it, don't you?
Yeah.
So I think he's probably still going to be down the pecking order. But it's fine. It's more options.
And he's not a bad person to have around anyway.
Absolutely.
You know, he's won more than Reading in probably one season. You know, that's where it's at, isn't it, with him? So then we had Sam Walker in goal, who did really very little until the last 10 minutes. So I was glad he got a couple of saves, because if you play a whole match in your debut and you get absolutely nothing to do, you kind of think, okay, I've got a clean sheet, but I haven't actually done anything.
He's number two, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
We wouldn't have played him if it would have been Yakala. Is he still injured, though,
Yakala?
I'm not sure. But then we've also got youth keepers kind of knocking on the door as well.
Yeah.
So you'd have to think that at the moment he's number two.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'd say so. How tall is he? He must be 6'7" or something.
He was pretty big.
He is massive. This is all about height, this podcast, isn't it?
He was taller than Tyler Blackett, and he's pretty tall.
Yeah, this could go down a bad alleyway.
Height, not length.
No, I'm not going there. I'm totally avoiding that, yeah. So, yeah, somebody asked a question, and it was regarding Bodvarsson. And I think it's an interesting one regarding the weekend as well, because I think there's going to be some decisions to make for poor Clement. It's from Neil... sorry if I completely butcher your name. No, not you. Not Neil Rees. No. Neil Alesia, I think so. Definitely, if I've completely butchered your name there. If we are having problems scoring goals, why do we continue to play someone in Bodvarsson that obviously struggles to produce? Why are we not buying better strikers, or at least playing the ones we have brought in? I mean, buying a different striker, I think that's a whole different topic, but I think we should Bodvarsson be starting on Saturday against Bolton?
Well, bearing in mind he's scored our only goal so far, that's a little bit of a stretch to say he's not really worthy of a position, because no one else has scored. For me...
He talking about the whole thing, though? Not just goals? Is he talking about his hold-up playing link play as well?
Quite possibly, but for hold-up play, a shorter man isn't going to be as good as a taller man as Bodvarsson is. That's my feeling.
I'm not sure on that now.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're 6'4", you're likely to header a ball than a 5'10" guy.
No, I'm not sure on that one. No. Well, I see where you're going. You've got more probability because you're bigger. God, this podcast is too much about size. It's too much.
Yeah,
it's
stop.
Well,
it's
too many parallels. If we all play two, then for me, it's Bodvarsson number
one. No, I'm not sure. I mean...
But Varson's a funny one, because last season, how many goals did he score in?
10 or 12.
So, and he played 12. about 30 appearances. So 1-3 is not bad.
In a bad team.
But three of those were against Stevenage, though.
Yeah, but let's just discount them. It doesn't add to my argument, so we'll pretend that didn't happen.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, yeah.
No, so...
edit that bit out.
like you say, he's the only player who scored this season. But he hasn't looked great. I don't think his hold-up play has been fantastic. And I think that's probably what Baldock was brought in for. Baldock's always... I know he's not the same size as a Ricky Lambert, but I think he was seen as the kind of player who could bring others into play, especially the wingers. So you could almost play him as a striker, knowing that he's not necessarily going to score that many goals. I mean, Barrow got, 11 goals last season in a poor team as well. If you could actually give him more chances on a plate, he might get more goals. Mate looks like he might score. You've got Aluko to come back, and we'll see how the other wingers who have been out for longer do when they come into the squad. But if you've got someone playing them in, maybe that's where the goals will come from. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not totally convinced. I mean, the thing is with Bodvarsson, he'd suddenly bring a ball down from the air, and you think, how did you do that?
That Derby game. Yeah. One ball he brought down.
That's my point. If he can do that, then if you take him out of the equation, then there's no players that can do that.
But then you wouldn't play them say pass necessarily, would you? That's the thing. You adapt your play to the players.
Yeah, but if he's got a bigger one and a smaller one, you can change your focal point of the attack in different ways.
I'd like to see him come on as kind of a plan B. I think, you know, when you're struggling in a game and you're like, right, okay, we've got 20 minutes left, we haven't been able to create anything, let's just start pumping balls up there and see what you can do with them. I like that idea. But I think when you're starting him, I don't see him as a starting striker for a team that probably wants to be top half, maybe pushing for playoffs.
All right, the only reason I say that is because I don't think McNulty is ready.
And I agree with that.
And they're maybe, maybe.
So no, that's fair enough. Two. Yeah, so you wouldn't start him on Saturday. Would you start Bodvarsson on Saturday then?
Yeah.
You would. Sam, would him you start him?
Not on his own. It has to be him and Baldwin.
We can go through that.
I wouldn't mind starting the way we did last night. You know, I thought we played quite well. I'd like to give them a try, but the question obviously was, do we bring someone else in? And I think the answer to that is probably, you know, we probably don't have as much money as people think we do. Mm-hmm. And I think we need a midfielder. We definitely need a winger at the moment, based on the injuries we've got and some of the long-term injuries we've got, more than we need another striker. I think if we lose one of those or even two of those three, we've got someone else who can sit up there. We could, if we had to, push Mate up front as well, so we've got options there, even if they're not great. But we if we lose a couple of midfielders, we're screwed.
I mean, I think in an ideal world, like you said, Sam, if we could get in a better striker, that would be perfect. And you're not replacing or losing a lot of goals. If you brought them in, somebody's going to score 10-12 goals, but actually is a complete kind of master of link play, that would be amazing. But realistically, I can't see us having the money to buy that player, because, like you say, for the same reasons, we're going to prioritise other areas.
Yeah, and we need to work with what we've got, and you know, anything that comes in now is a bonus, I think.
Yeah.
We're obviously, there's a lot of talk that we're looking at other positions, other players, that might happen. But I think as a fan, the easiest thing to do is just get on with it, get behind the team that we've got, and hopefully the manager can work with those players. There's enough quality there to, you know, we're not going to be in a relegation scrap, you'd assume. The team looks better than it did last year. I think with time, we'd all agree that as long as confidence doesn't take a huge knock, they should continue to get better.
I hope so.
And this is a good starting point.
Yeah, this is why the game on Saturday, which come on to now, is so big, the Bolton match. I mean, it's ridiculous to say it's a must-win, because it's not a must-win.
No.
But you feel like if we don't win it, it creates a little bit of pressure on the players alone. Forget the fans, forget the manager. The players will start to feel that's three wins. And it's the first game this season in the league that we go into thinking, we should be able to win this one.
Yeah.
As in, not 100%, no way, because I don't think Bolton are going to be any walkovers. They've got 4 points from the first two games. But if we're going to be actually saying we are more confident about our team this season, this is the game we have to win. Because I think it'd be worrying.
Team
if we don't.
Fragile mentally.
Yes,
you know,
very.
We saw that last season. We haven't overhauled the entire squad. You know, it's the same bunch of players.
Yeah, those frailties are still there.
Yeah, that lost that you know, let Cardiff back into the game and then went on a 20 game you know, losing streak or whatever it was. It was ridiculous. And so it feels like the longer this goes on, the more games we don't score in, we don't win, the more of an issue it becomes amongst fans and players.
I think what you said earlier on is it's away from home that underpins all of this. Is that everyone knows, you know, if you get home points, that's fine, that's bread and butter. But it's a way that keeps you out of trouble. And the longer that goes on, where we're not competitive away from home, or we're not scoring, or it doesn't look like we're winning, then these frailties mentally are still going to be there. And until that gets ruled out, this team isn't going to evolve the way we want it to.
Having said that, though, like, we're so early in the season at the
moment. Yeah, it's no one's like, saying it couldn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. Like, we're basing all of this on what last season and what we've seen over the last couple of years. But ultimately, if we beat Bolton Saturday and we get, you know, three wins in the next 6-7 games, I think people will be happy and we'll be mid-table and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'd be more than happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. Because I think mid-table would be a really good finish for us this season from where we've been for three of the last four seasons.
Yeah.
And like you say, we haven't had a massive overhaul. I mean, if you look at Bolton, that's always going to be a tough team. Obviously, we've got Phil Parkinson coming back, and that's the fans' favourite. And, you know, nice bloke, obviously. And, you know, I hope he loses, really.
They're Lafondre down there.
No, Lafondre deal. Yeah. How weird was that? In the middle of a match.
Yeah.
I mean, good luck to him. I mean, Adam Lafondre, wow, that whole day in Southampton. If you were there for that, that was just amazing.
Yeah, and I was there for that. 3-1. I was there for that. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Do I use the word legend for Adam Lafondre? I don't know. Legendary. It's debatable, isn't it?
I think specifically that game, the goals that he scored were... And that game, going back to that, against the runner player, Lafondre just found the net twice. And it was a great day. But Sydney FC... Is Sydney... Are they one of the Man City group of clubs?
I think there's another one, Melbourne City, maybe.
I'm not listening to the podcast, please tell us.
But yeah, I mean,
could just Google it, but
yeah. But it's a good move for him anyway, and it's going to help us out hopefully Saturday, because last season Lafondre came and he played a different game to the game that we'd seen him play when he was at Reading. He kind of led the line for them, and he was a real handful for our defenders to deal with.
Holmes learned a lot that night.
Yeah, he absolutely But he's not there. So, I mean, that's obviously a bonus for us.
Getting him out of the way is lovely for us, because it's almost written in the stars, isn't it? I think he's going to come back and score, because... It would sum up our kind of last few months and years, really.
Yeah.
So, I think we should start with Liam Moore and Ilori on Saturday.
I do. I think that's why they had that partnership yesterday. It doesn't make sense to put McShane back in when you've got a better player just sitting there on the bench who's fit and ready. It's tough on McShane, because I don't think he's been bad by any stretch of imagination, but we all know Moore is our best player, so play him.
Yeah, McShane must be thinking that as well, realistically. Sure. Unless we play a three, because we've got so many injuries now. But I can't see him playing a three if he can avoid it in any way.
If we don't play Moore, again, I go back to that money that we turned down. What was the point?
Yeah,
and ultimately, it's a win-win for us, because he either plays well and we get him till January or the end of the season and we sell him for more money, or he doesn't. We've got players there who can step up and do the job if we need them to as well. So I think we're in a pretty solid position.
With Liam Moore, we can't lose, because he needs to prove a point to himself more than anything else. And if he plays so well, a Premier League team comes in and pays the money, well, he must have played well.
He knows that he has to play well.
Yeah.
Because if he obviously now harbours ambitions to play in the Premier League, and who the hell's going to come in for him if we're bottom of the table and letting, you know, 40 goals, exactly, 50 goals come Christmas? Yeah.
And there will be positions in January, because injuries happen.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's inevitable, isn't it? Yeah.
So we know from a personal point of view, he has something to prove. He's not going to sulk and lounge around. He has to play well. No. Otherwise,
he doesn't seem that type anyway, does he? To sulk about it.
No.
He probably did have a day or two where he thought, "What the hell am I doing?"
Yeah, but
he's buckled down now, and he made a statement, which is, I think, is pretty much unique for a Reading player. I don't think recall anyone's done anything like that before.
I admire his honesty.
He's put his heart on the line, and he didn't say, you know, I'm here, I love the club and the badge and all that kind of stuff. He's just said, I'm just going to work.
That's
fair play to him.
Actually, you guys have you talked about this already on the pod? I don't want to jump in and talk about it. How good is it from a club point of view? How strong do we feel as, you know, financially as a club now? We must be in a pretty solid position to be able to turn down that kind of money.
Yes.
Can you imagine, like, you know, Medeski or Zingarevic or even the Ties turning down even half that rumoured amount?
Yeah.
We would have snapped their hands off and taken it. And the fact that they've said, we want you as part of this team, we don't want to sell you.
No, I think it's a big statement that I agreed. I tweeted something out on the day that it happened. Yeah. And I think that when you look at that and the training ground that they're building and everything and the amount of money they're putting into that, because the training ground's going to stay there for a long time. It's all well and good signing players and everything, but the training ground is key to keep the academy and attract players and keep players. But yes, I think that is a positive sign. A lot of people say, oh, why haven't they spent loads and loads of money and why haven't we signed all these different things? But I don't really want a crazy owner who's going to come in and do that. And I know with FFP that's a bit more difficult as well. Mm. But
obviously with FFP, all your upgrades that you're making don't count into that.
No, not at all.
And I think that's where we've I wouldn't say put all our eggs in one basket as such, but we're future-proofing to a degree.
But it's a good basket, though.
It certainly is.
Because you make money for academy players.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, that works.
So we're playing the longer game rather than spending money on, you know, Oliveira for 8, 9, 10 million, whatever it is.
Don't
now.
Bring him up. Don't go there.
Just giving him an example. But we're investing in training ground instead. And that's the way I've always seen it, is that that money is going elsewhere. It's not that it doesn't exist. It certainly doesn't exist to the amount that people think we have. But what we do have, a large chunk of that is going to the training ground.
No, I think it is really positive. You're right, Sam, to bring that up. And I hope that if we could get a team that's in anywhere decent and be just even 10th, but you know, a few points off the playoffs at some point. I know it's a pipe dream at the moment, but you never know in the championship. There could be some money there to get that extra player or two.
The excitement for me every season is if you can get to Christmas and you're within 10 points of the playoffs, you've got a good chance to have a run at it second half. It doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. But that's where the championship's the most exciting for me, because every team has a chance to do that. And you see it every year. There is a team that comes from 10th, 11th, 12th. We've done it ourselves and got into the playoffs, or even made it into automatic. You know, unlikely, but it does happen.
You just never know.
Again, we've done it ourselves.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's that's what you always, you know, you hope for. And this team seem like they're good enough to be mid-table.
Yeah, I think they've got the potential to be there. Yeah.
Come January, if we've improved enough, we might be in a position where, yeah, we're a player or two short and we go out and get someone and have a real push at it. Maybe that's massively optimistic.
I don't know. I mean, if you look at the performances, we've definitely improved since last season. Let's be positive. I don't want to be negative about it. I think if you put in three performances, which is all we've seen, and all of them, I thought we've actually put the effort in and we look organised, and that's all you ask. And we've had so long without that.
Well, it's the championship, but you say that, but it's the championship, right? So we came down from the Premier League, we had the Adkins season where we came, what, seventh? Outside the playoffs.
Yes. Pitch invasion.
Then we had two seasons flirting with relegation. I wouldn't say they were relegation threatened, but we weren't playing well. Mm. Then we had the Stam season where we almost got promoted. Then we had another season last year where we were almost relegated. I'm not saying that means that pattern-wise we're going to do that this season, but the point is, in the championship, you can go from being almost relegated to almost promoted in a year.
Oh, 100%.
And you don't need to spend masses of money, because we haven't done that to get where we've got to over the
it's
last
It's such
years.
A confidence division.
Yeah.
That if you get the players working in a system that they like and they're happy doing it and they're scoring goals, it totally elevates very, very quickly. And it just needs a few results to spin that into action. And as Sam says, the players that we got are definitely good enough at this level. They're not League One players batting above average. They are Championship players, by and large. So we should be able to turn it around with the manager we've got.
Yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying this positive mood.
Great, isn't it?
Look at Cardiff last season. They were, for want of a better word, pretty crap. You know, they were not a great team. Yeah. They had less possession, they had less shots.
Specialists.
But they came second because they were consistently doing one thing well.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot. You don't have to spend loads of money and be, you know, the best. You look at Leeds at the moment. Leeds are the best team in the league at the moment. But I don't necessarily expect them to necessarily, you know, win the league or come second. They might end up falling out of favour, getting playoffs. They're going to have a patch where they drop a few results and everything can change. And we were there under Clark. You remember the first season? I think it was Clark.
Yes. Well,
we
spent Blatton the first couple of crazy.
Yes, we spent the first two or three months playing really well. We were, I think, second, third, something like that. And then everything went to, you know, pot when Clark went and spoke to Fulham. But again, you know, that could happen with Leeds. It's the championship. You can't put your money on anyone to carry early form through to the end of the season. It just, things change so often.
I think the only thing that we need, and I think from a fan's perspective, is that I want to know at least 8 or 9 players that are going to be on the team sheet every week. Because I know this season is going to be fluid. There's players coming back from injury, players that they haven't played much because they've been in the World Cup, bless him. All that kind of stuff. But last season and starting this season, you can't say who those players are going to be. There's so much fluid change. And until that settles down and we know what our best players are in what positions, that kind of stuff, that progressiveness, I don't think is going to kick in yet. We need to find out what our best team is.
No, definitely. And the more players we have when you go to select a team and you go, all those 8-9 players play, the better. Because for the last few years, the year before, the last season, I would say you could have picked maybe three, four players for a game. I want to get back to the position where you go, okay, there's 8-9 players certain. We've got a few that are kind of not quite sure, because you're never going to get really 11 players.
Because we were all playing Stan Roulette last season, weren't we?
Brendan Rodgers tumble.
What is going to turn up now? And none of it really, you know, instilled any confidence. Thinking that's what we were looking for. That's the thing. That's the formation that we're after. That's the players that are going to make me feel of work.
Upbeat mood. What is your prediction for Saturday?
Oh, comfy 2-0.
Comfy 2-0. Wow.
I'll go 1-0.
I'll take that. Yeah, but who to who?
Well, we're home. Yeah.
I just want to make that clear in case people say, who's Sam predicting a win for? Now, I'm going to say 2-1, because I feel like we're probably going to let a goal in some point. I think Bolton have far more physicality than some of the other last two teams that we face, and we do sometimes struggle against that. So let's hope it comes to pass that we win. That would be amazing if we actually managed to get a win, because that would be... I saw a few signs in the team and I think there's something there. I look at it and I think, because at the start of the season, I wanted the players to prove to me that they actually basically cared, some of them. And I'm seeing that. I'm getting that back now. And that's quite nice.
They're buying into what is being coached, which I think is always a good sign.
Yes, it is. Yes. Now, Paul Clement does like mentioning that he was at Real Madrid there. He does like doing that.
I've got a friend at Swansea who tagged me in a thread of things that he said regarding Real Madrid and the Odegaard, is that his name? Saying, I subbed him on, I subbed off Ronaldo. I was the coach that made that decision.
It's a little bit of Rodgers there, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. I was basically saying that I think Clement might be more David Brent than Rodgers, actually, at this point.
Surely Nigel Adkins is the most David Brent.
Nigel Adkins was just Mr. Positive. Yeah. I think he was
a bit deluded by David Brent.
I think if you amalgamated the three, you'd have the perfect Brent, wouldn't you?
You would.
And the most detestable character in footballing history.
I think as good as Rodgers talks a very good game, he does talk about the game rather than the game, which really annoyed me.
It's
about
not
him.
Down in
he talked about the spirituality of the performance. He's like, no, stop it.
No, let's shut that down.
I prefer Clement banging on about Madrid, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it's fine. So thanks a lot for listening. And, we will be back next week, hopefully with 3 points in the bag. I think someone else will be taking over the EPR account for the weekend, so... I'll get that confirmed, and who knows, he might even do a Periscope or something. We'll see. Thanks a lot for listening. Cheers.